I now call the board back in session. Next case, please.
Okay, the next case is 11,634 Oakles Acres LLC. They're seeking a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower per section 115-23C17 of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. The property is located on the north side of East Redden Road and on the west side of Donovan Road. The 911 address is 17120 Oakles Lane in Milton. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is 235, map 24, parcel 1.05. There are no letters in support, there are no letters in opposition, and no mail returns. And again, it's just a special use exception for a cell tower. There are no variances requested with this application.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Calloway, members of the board. John Tracy from Young Conaway, Stargett & Taylor here on behalf of the applicant, Selco Partnership. With me are three individuals I think the board is somewhat familiar with. Sue Manchell is a site acquisition specialist. Pete Tsoukalos, who's the civil engineer. Brian Grevis, who's working for RF on this. They can all go up to Mr. Sharp to get sworn in case you all have any questions for him.
I appreciate that, please.
Good evening. Please state your name and address for the record.
Sue Manchell, 104 Christian Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19147.
Okay. Please step up, sir. Please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. It's Petros Tsoukalos. My business address is 2000 Atlanta Drive, Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
Brian Grievous, P.O. Box 165, Fairview Village, Pennsylvania, 19409.
Do all three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I guess I'll start this application with two apologies. The first apology is this was supposed to have been considered a few months ago. We had a goof up on our part with the tax parcel numbers because the Oakles family owns several parcels in the same areas. While our plans showed the correct property, the tax parcel was wrong, which affected the notice. Secondly, I've always been accused of kicking it old school, so I wasn't aware that you all had the new technology that we could put these exhibits on, so I guess this will be the last of the dinosaur age with me coming down with the actual boards. So I did pass out, I did give to Ms. Cornwell, and she's distributed to you a 8.5 by 14 copy of this exhibit. That exhibit is just really to show you that, as with the applications you've considered from Selco in the past, we try to choose locations that isolate the infrastructure against existing tree lines and put the infrastructure as far as we can from neighboring properties and neighboring residences. And you'll see that aside from a home that's accessed through a drive that goes along the Oakles property, we're largely, if you can even read those numbers, 1,500 to 3,000 feet away from the nearest homes, and you can certainly see they're all in areas that are very heavily wooded. As Ms. Cornwell indicated, we are not seeking any variances with this application. It meets all of the zoning code's requirements. We'll be adhering to the requirements with regard to lighting, the fact that this can take a co-location of at least two providers as well. It is a minimal generator demand on county services, as you all have heard me talk about in the past. These installations typically involve two trips per month, one in, one out, to check on the facility to make sure everything is operating smoothly. There's an existing drive that we would be using to access it. This application is no different than those you've heard from us in the past. As you're aware, Verizon Wireless has a requirement through its license to provide reliable service to its subscribers. When it becomes aware of gaps in service, it seeks ways to fill that, and that's what this application is. In fact, I have on the boards, but you have in front of you as well, kind of the before and after portrait that you usually see that demonstrates that we have a very significant gap in coverage, as shown by the board behind me and in front of you as well. Flip it over and magically you can see the area of coverage that is to be fulfilled by this particular piece of infrastructure, and you'll see it's fairly large, filling the gap between four existing Selco installations. There is, as the report that we submitted to you, there is one tower that is on the very outer edge of the 2-mile radius that we're required to look at. I think, as the board's heard me talk about in the past, really when you get about half a mile from the location, you really run into degradation problems in terms of filling the gap in service. There is one that's an existing lattice tower that's 1.7 miles from this location. As the RF report that we submitted demonstrates, this would not, it has two problems. One, it doesn't fill the gap in coverage that we're trying to fill because it's too far to the northeast. Additionally, it provides overly redundant coverage with the existing site that we have to the northeast, which is called Milton. You have overlapping coverage that actually degrades the signal as opposed to helping it out, except in instances where there's severe capacity concerns. We have our FAA clearance. We have submitted documentation that shows we fall 350 times below what the FCC is the minimum acceptable level for emissions. And as the report denotes, and as we've testified to in the past, that's with all worst case scenarios being considered, everything turned on, everybody standing right next to the tower being fully loaded, and we're still 350 times below what the FCC has determined is the minimal acceptable level. As the board is aware, the only real standard that applies in this instance, once we've demonstrated we don't need any variances, is the substantial adverse impact. Again, I think this application has no adverse impact, put alone an adverse or even a substantially adverse. There's no properties very close to where we are. It's a very heavily wooded parcel to which we put this infrastructure adjacent to it. Obviously, Ms. Cornwell indicated there is no letters of opposition to this application. So I would certainly ask for the board's indulgence to approve the application. And as I said, we have our experts here to answer any questions, should you have any, about this application in particular.
Thank you. Let's start off with you, Mr. Wilkins. Do you have any questions at this time?
You said you've met all the physical requirements, okay, and you're making that statement now, okay?
Yes. Other than identifying that we had the one tower we had to rule out that was within the 2 miles.
That was 1.7?
1.7 miles to the northeast.
Okay. And the reason you ruled that out was what?
It's too far to the northeast to address the gap in coverage, plus it's a conflict with an existing site that we have that's to the northeast of that, identified
as
Milton.
What's the conflict?
You have overly redundant coverage. When you have too much overlapping coverage in an area, it actually causes problems with the ability of the phone calls to move through or to seamlessly progress. You actually have the two cell sites fighting with each other in terms of handling
the call.
Yeah.
So with that being said, if this one is approved and installed, would you shut that one down?
No, this chosen site does not have that problem. What I was saying in terms of ruling out that one that's 1.7 miles to the north, that's what causes the problem.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to be taking it.
No. This one is, that one's more like 3 or 4 miles. It's right over by Route 1. The other site, it's off screen, but it's 1.7 miles to the northeast. It's too close to that one, which is why we couldn't co-locate on that structure to address this gap in coverage.
I got you now. Thank you.
And how close are you to, there's an airfield out there.
There is.
How far are you close to them? Are there any problems with that?
We're not, and we ran the FAA clearance, and if you look at the FAA report,
right,
which is one of the exhibits, it actually shows the airstrip or the air. Here you go. Yeah, you've got these two little blue lines are the actual airstrips, although I haven't seen the runway cut this way. You can kind of see the bottom of it right here. It's owned by the same family. It's part of the Oakles property. But we're not in the flight path for either of those. And if you've been out on East Redden Road, in addition to the fact that I tucked it back against the tree line here, and I'll kind of use the line, I had one of these in Kent County where DelDOT was complaining, even though we were a mile and a half from their airstrip, I said, unless you're reenacting a scene from Tora, 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 there's no reason a plane should be that low to the trees where this tower is. But there's also some tall infrastructure in here that's part of the existing farming operation. So, but you can see the alignment of the runways don't take it near where this, we're not in the flight path, we're not in the cone of danger, for lack of a better word.
Pretty much just means just for crop dusting.
I would believe so. I don't want to make representations, but that's what appeared to me. Yeah, that's what appeared to me.
Okay, that's a question I had. Thank you. Hey, are there any other questions?
Mr. Sharp? Just a few. I didn't see this, I don't have a copy of that, so perhaps that's why. I take it that the pad sites, ground equipment, structures, and guy wires can be surrounded by a 6-foot-tall fence?
Correct.
And you were talking about that it's not in the flight path, but this tower will, it will meet all FAA regulations?
Correct. We've already got a no hazard notification. One of the reports we submitted was the no hazard to air notification from the FAA. It will be, it's not required to be lighted by the FAA. Obviously, it's required to be lighted in accordance with Sussex County requirements.
And it's 150 feet tall, is that what I saw?
145 plus a 5-foot lightning rod.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
All right, well, our question is, your foundation, okay, you're not anywhere near the wetlands or anything involved there, are you?
No, we stay out of those. Now, looking at, yeah, we're outside of the wetlands and the required buffers.
So your foundation is going to be firm enough to handle this?
Yes, yes, and we do all the required testing before, obviously, we pour the foundation and do everything out.
There has been some issues, you know, when we had the hurricane here that some of the towers were affected by that, you know, by that deluge of water that gets comes with that.
Yeah, we hope that when we construct them, we don't ever have to come back except for the one monthly visit to make sure technologically it's working well. So we perform all the tests. We obviously do environmental tests before we start, and then we do all the foundational testing before we actually install the infrastructure.
And, of course, you know, the most famous question is it going to affect special use exception, affect the surrounding neighborhood? Do you have anybody that is objecting to this at all?
We have not received any objections. I know Ms. Cornwell indicated there were no objections. Unless there's some folks in the audience, we're not aware of any objections.
Okay, no other questions.
Any further questions? Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I did have one other question for Mr.
I'm Reed. Sorry, okay. Sir.
And do you have somebody to affirm your testimony with you?
Yes, actually I'll have Pete and Brian come up here and I'll ask them to do that directly.
Thank you.
Mr. Scalise, you've heard my discussions to the extent that they relate to civil engineering issues. Would you affirm the testimony that I placed into the record?
I do.
And Brian, you've heard my answers to questions related to RF issues associated with the application. Would you affirm the testimony that I put into the record?
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, then we're hearing no further questions. Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11,634 for the following reasons. I believe the it's not the special use exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties, and also the applicant has stated that the all the physical aspects of putting a cell tower have been met. And he has met that, so I make a motion that we approve case number 11,634.
Okay. Do you have a second to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second the motion.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,634. All those in favor of the motion, again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that had been stated. So by a vote of 3-0, case number 11,634 is approved. Yes, sir.